This is Write Your Own Story, Three Keys to Rise and Thrive in Life and Business. I'm your host, Rebecca Fleetwood Hessian. Hi, I'm Rebecca Fleetwood Hessian. I am the CEO of a company called WeThrive.live, my keynote speaker and an executive coach. And you are tuning in to our Future of Work series here on the podcast. I am passionate about the shift that we are in as a society. And I believe it's the greatest shift that we've been in since the shift from the agricultural age to the industrial age model of work, where the work construct has such a significant impact on society. And in 2020, we experienced a global shutdown, global trauma, which led us into years worth of reflection on what success really is and what we want our lives to be. And I believe that we're still in this bit of chaotic shift, trying to decide what the right answer is. And what I'm seeing is a much needed and necessary shift to where our sense of worth and our sense of value doesn't come from our achievements and our work title, but comes from us knowing us. And I believe that is the shift that we have needed for some time, because the way that we were working was leading us straight to an epidemic of burnout. And while this time of chaotic shift is full of uncertainty and many leaders trying to figure out what is the answer, I wholeheartedly believe that the future belongs to those leaders who are willing to be creatives, who are willing to create the future of work. And I want to be a part of that effort. And so this series is dedicated to interviewing people and asking them, what do you think the future of work could and should be? What problems should we solve? What ideas should we consider? And by doing this series, it will lead us into our own sense of reflection as leaders and as employees. And what do we want? How do we want work to feel? And as we make this shift, I believe as we change the work, we can change the world into a society that honors each of our uniqueness and honors the value that we bring into an organization. So if we can change the work, we can change the world. Because, you know, making money just ought to feel better. So I'm glad you're here. Shivani, thanks for coming. I'm so glad.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. We had the chance to work together on a women's event for Salesforce several years ago. And I was so impressed with you and your deep knowledge and passion around women at work that when I had this idea to talk about the future of work, I'm like, oh my gosh, I have got to get your perspective. So thanks for taking the invite to just, like, we're having a coffee shop conversation, just chat about what's happening in the world today and what our opportunities are. But before we do that, I would love for you to give some context about your background and experience and how you turned women at work into a study and a career.
Yeah, of course. And thank you again for reaching out. I was so excited to see your message. I very much remember you from that panel. I really stand out. So I'm glad we could reconnect. I am the CEO and founder of Career Mama, a private community for high-achieving moms, really designed to help them be able to achieve their career and family goals without feeling overwhelmed, without feeling burned out. And I'm also the CEO and founder of Arise Leadership, which is a women's leadership program to help them move into management. Our mission is to elevate 1 million women into leadership. And we've really helped graduates from Fortune 500 companies like Google, Salesforce, Uber, get a voice at the table and be promoted while raising thriving kids. And what inspired me to start do this is because I was in their shoes. As I was moving up to management, I learned how to advocate for myself, how to get buy-in, how to win over dominant personalities, people who disrespected me, shot me down, all by making a ton of mistakes. You know, I even went to Harvard Business School to get my MBA, and that's where you're supposed to go to learn how to be a great leader. But I didn't learn it in the classroom. I learned it all on the job. And when I developed these critical skills, I moved up faster in my career. I was able to impact my teams better, my executives better. I was invited to present at our company's board of directors, a multi-billion dollar company. And I was, as a more junior employee, in the room presenting on a key initiative that I was leading to our board of directors. And I just really realized when you have certain skills and experiences, it unlocks so many opportunities for you. Coming out of HBS, I also was fortunate enough to have a community of women. We created a book club and we all moved back to San Francisco and we started meeting on a monthly basis and like read books. So very quickly that conversation shifted from reading books to like work stuff, difficult bosses, or how do we get promoted? And those conversations were invaluable. And I just realized you shouldn't have to go to an elite school to have access to that kind of knowledge and network. And even as I became a mom, we would text each other like breastfeeding tips or, you know, thinking about like that identity shift that you go through, which I just thought it was me, but getting to realize that other women also, after they have kids, are like, this doesn't feel like me. I've changed my like, and then just the tiredness and the nonstopness, like again, felt like so much like me. And I felt so lonely and isolated. But when I was able to have conversations with other women in similar situations as me, it was empowering. It was confidence building. It was still hard, but it felt very supportive and doable. And that's really what inspired me to create these two offerings and really create the leadership program and more so create Career Mama. And I was like, it shouldn't have to be this hard. Yeah. Okay. Trying to build a career at the same time and being this amazing mom is hard, but not impossible. And really creating like a curated group to come together to create the support system that we all need from the onset.
I love that you said, I went to Harvard. I was going to go figure this out. But what I learned the most from was the conversations and the community and the stuff outside of the classroom. Because one of the things that I see time and time again with high achieving women is when things get in that place of they know they need to make a change, but they're not really sure where to go. The first thing is, I'll just go get another degree or I'll just go back to school. And I'll say, well, okay, that might be the right answer, but it's going to be really expensive, big time commitment. Are we sure that's what you want? Or are you just looking for something and that just seems like the right answer, but it's not often the best answer unless you're going for some specialty area that you need a certification or a degree. And then when you sign up for a degree and it's not what you really needed, now you've just added to your stress and just added another thing to deal with. And so community building and programs like yours to give people access to the conversations is a beautiful way to tap into a woman's desire for community and compassion and connection that we're wired for. That's why God chose us to have the babies, because we need that community and that connection to nurture and care for one another. I love that you just were like, this is how I learned it. That's great.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot. And yeah, it's been amazing. Our mission is to elevate 1 million women into leadership. That's a big way we're going to create that much needed change. And it has to start from all these different angles. Like, how do we support career-driven, high-achieving moms, ambitious moms to like actually achieve it? Part of it is like giving them the leadership tools. And then the other part I realized, which is why Career Mama, I was like, you also got to learn how to like home life and take care of yourself. And all of these things come together to really help us thrive and live our best lives.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. So needed. I'm so excited about this. So future of work. My premise is that post 2020, we're not going back. And I know there are a lot of leaders that the reason they want to go back and grab things that worked in the past is because our nervous system, we are patterns of our experience in our past. So when things aren't going well, the first thing we think is, what did I used to do that went well? But we're in a time of reckoning that post 2020, people are not interested in going back to the way things were, which I love as a chaotic opportunity. Because anytime there's chaos, instead of fearing it, I like to look at it and say, well, it's all falling apart anyway. Why don't we just build it differently the way that we want to experience it? And so I'm treating this time as that opportunity to say, okay, if we get together and build what we want, what would that look like? And so share with me either from the, here's what we don't want, here are the problems that we want to solve, or here are my ideas of the way I think we can move forward in a different way. Either way, just a conversation or your perspective on those things.
Definitely. I think in addition, 2020 COVID taught us so much about what is possible and what is not. People often used to think that working from home was not productive. and it taught us that actually it can be really productive, which is a huge win, especially for women, especially for moms, because it gives us so much more flexibility. I work from home and I'm able to be way more productive than if I had to waste time commuting in an office. Now, sometimes people can make that commute really productive, but for me, I would rather use that time to exercise, to hang out with my daughter, or I'll go out on a walk and I'll still listen to that podcast. But then I can be here and just have more time in the day for myself, for my family, while still driving a bigger impact. And while companies now are starting to go back to in office, you are seeing more companies still go hybrid than previously. You're seeing more companies being okay with remote work. And I think that's been like a really positive change. We need to continue seeing more of that. And then also creating more inclusive policies for moms. And part of this is like for broader women and underrepresented minorities in general, like because studies show when you have diverse teams, your teams actually perform better. It means more for top line revenue. It's not just because it's the right thing to do. And so that's still a massive problem we face is there's not enough women in representation. For example, there's a concept of the broken rung where at the manager level, 72 women are promoted for every 100 men. When that issue is happening at the first ranks of leadership, it compounds. And then there's no surprise when there's not that many women in the top levels because you're starting the problem from early on. And this is really what we focus on. It's like, how do we get more women into that leadership position? And how do we equip them with the tools around that? How do you get more women into leadership? How do you create the right setup where they feel inclined to stay in? We have people in Career Mama, these are ambitious, high-achieving women, high performance at their company. And some of them will wonder, like, do I need to take a step back? And it doesn't necessarily mean to leave the workforce for them, but it could be like, I'm not going to go for that next promotion like I normally would have because I just don't have maybe the bandwidth. It's totally okay if that's what feels good to you. We need to create that world where people are opting out because they want to, not because they have to. Because childcare is so expensive. And I always heard about that before having a child. And now I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it is so absurdly expensive. Mm-hmm. But it's a necessity.
You add diaper service or any of that other expense on top of it, and it is extraordinarily expensive. Yes, yes.
Yes, exactly. So it's like, how do we create systems that allow the support women to be their best selves, drive a big impact at work, while also being able to show up their families and doing it all without feeling overwhelmed? You know, it is really hard. And I think just by nature, it's going to be really hard, but we can make it a bit easier. It doesn't have to be impossible. And we can put policies and systems and support in place to like help enable that.
I just had this conversation with one of my coaching clients. She just had her second baby. And she said to me, is it wrong that I don't have the same passion around what's the next opportunity when I look around the company? She said, am I losing my edge? And I love what you said about let's make it okay if you're opting out because you choose to, not because you think you need to survive it. And so we had a really great conversation. What it really boiled down to is as she looked around at the team she has now, it's a lot of women that have new babies and toddlers. And I said, what if your greatest contribution right now is to figure out leadership with that team that looks different and looks like something the rest of the organization could model because you are all figuring it out? And that just came to me in a moment. I think it was just a divine idea because I had never thought about it that way before. But now she has a new passion for it. Now she's reignited with all of her leadership skills to help figure that out for the rest of her team. And those are the kinds of things that get me excited because I would love your perspective on why do you think it is that more women aren't entering into leadership? Is it that they're being pushed back? Is it they're not stepping in? What are you finding in your view of this or diagnostic of this?
I think the biggest thing is they're not being let in. There is a lot of bias. There is even seemingly small things such as who gets the best growth opportunities, who gets to present in the next leadership meeting. And there's going to be bias where your male colleague is getting it instead of like the female colleague. And performance ratings, often even though like the qualitative feedback is really amazing for the women, like the ratings are still lower than the men, even though their qualitative feedback is better. So there's like definitely bias going into it. And then there's also society systems and work systems that need to change. And then there is also on the individual self that there's things that we can do in our power to help alleviate the problem, a lot of the burden still sits on the corporations and society to change it. And for example, one of the things that we could do is like have confidence in ourselves. It sounds really simple, but I am continually surprised by the number of women I meet who are having self-doubt. We talk a lot about imposter syndrome, right? I think that's becoming a more important conversation these days. And obviously with imposter syndrome, it's important to identify like how much of it is like my own internal self-doubt or what is being imposed on me by the people around me who are like doubting my abilities and that just trickling in. And one thing I always say to our members is if you don't believe in yourselves, how can you expect your manager to? How can you expect your team to? If you're not comfortable speaking up and sharing your idea in a meeting, how can you expect your manager to like tap you and go present your big idea? And so it really starts with ourselves. And I've even experienced it in like mom life. I think there's so much like guilt imposed on people and so much judgment and how society should do it. And then we hear all these narratives around like big time CEO, like does it all. And that's fine. But maybe that's not right for like you. And it's like being able to decide what feels good to you and having the confidence to go do that. And that's a lot what we like talk about in Career Mama also. But really, I'd say like as an individual, what can you do in your power is one, build that confidence. And I'm not saying you have to like get rid of all self-doubt. Like, I think it's very normal to have self-doubt.
Healthy sometimes. Yes.
Yeah, and I do too. And, you know, I've interviewed Fortune 500 CEOs and they're also like, yeah, I've struggled with self-doubt. I still struggle with self-doubt. The key is knowing how do you manage that in a way that's not limiting you. And then it's like developing the right skills. Especially with the advancements of AI, it's really important to differentiate yourself and understand, like, how do you make sure that you are constantly able to stand out? Because there are certain things that AI, as of now, can't do. Like, you know, it can do a lot of the technical work, but the people relationship building, the empathy, right now, humans will need to keep doing that. And so how do you really hone those skills? Like, for example, knowing how to influence. How do you get buy-in on your ideas? Thinking about, you know, you want to get a yes on your recommendation. Okay, let's break that down. How do you actually go do that strategically? How do you get all the players on board with your idea? What happens when they say no? How do you respond to that? How do you build allies? How do you co-create? Like, these are all skills that we're never actually taught, but you actually need to be proactive about developing it. And we focus on that a lot. And then the third thing I'd say is like, know how to advocate for yourself, how to make the ask. I have asked for every single salary raise promotion I've ever had. Now, I might have gotten it on my own, but I would have to wait so much longer for it. And I've only gotten turned down when I've asked. It's not a 100% hit rate.
Don't get what you don't ask for.
Exactly. Exactly. And research has shown that when you don't make the ask, often, especially for women, people assume that you don't want it. And to us, it could feel so shocking. Like, obviously, I want to get promoted. Obviously, I want that next big opportunity. But there's a bias where if you're not asking, people don't assume it. Or maybe they do know you want it, even though you haven't asked it, but they're like, that other person wants it more because they've been actually practically asking me for it. And they're like, I'm going to give it to that person. And so it's so important to make that ask and make it in a way that is really compelling to them. Like, it's not just about, I want to get promoted because I want to feel good and I want to make more money. It's, I want to get promoted because I'm going to drive a bigger impact to the company. I'm going to take more things off my manager's plate.
Yep. Talk in terms of impact. What's the impact you're having? And I am saddened by how many people that I talk to and work with that I need to encourage them to ask. And a company is always going to take as much as you are willing to give at the lower cost. Always. If you're not out there advocating for yourself and asking for more and showing the impact, then you can't be crabby because you didn't get it. The other thing that you said that I find a lot of as well is that lack of confidence. I think there's this misnomer that the opposite of lack of confidence is overly confident and ego-driven. And women don't want to stand out from an ego-driven perspective. What I call the sweet spot is the humility confidence. The confidence that says, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to give my opinions, but I'm also going to ask you questions. And I'm still going to use my ability to connect in a beautiful way as part of my confidence and leadership building, instead of thinking, oh, I have to have all the answers and I have to be the loudest. Most of the women I work with don't want that reputation, but they still want to make a difference and make an impact. What are your thoughts on that?
Definitely. I see that a lot too. And I think one piece that I always reflect back to someone like that is saying that to me, I'm like, you are so far on the other side of the spectrum that for you to probably go on the other end, the chances of that happening are so unlikely that like even give yourself a chance to go do that. and get feedback along the way. It doesn't have to be just like zero to nothing and then around it. And maybe you do rub someone the wrong way and you'll learn from it. I'm a very confident person. And what your client, like, you know, going the other extreme, like I've definitely rubbed people the wrong way because I'm like, I know the right answer. I know how to do it. Let's just go get it done. And sometimes I get so frustrated because I'm just like, wait, why are we having this conversation? Why did they do a more follow-up meeting? This is the right way. Let's just go. I remember when I was a product lead, I was meeting with my team to align on what our quarterly roadmap would look like. And I walked into the meeting feeling really good, feeling really confident. I thought it was going to go smooth about. I was going to pitch an idea. It was obviously the right thing that we should do. And so, you know, I remember walking in, sitting down, sharing my screen and trying to share my idea. Very quickly, I was met with a lot of confused looks, some really annoyed faces. I got asked a lot of questions like, why would we do this over this other idea? Isn't this going to make more work? The meeting did not go well. Like everyone was just really frustrated. I walked out of the meeting feeling like a failure, but I was so confused because I was like, I've done my research. I know this is a good idea. What went wrong? After a lot of reflection and some really painful feedback, I realized that people didn't feel like I valued their input. I hadn't invested the time in incorporating their ideas. I really focused on why I thought this was a good idea, but I didn't take into account how other people might perceive it. We assume we have the right answer, but we forget that other people have different contexts, different level of expertise. And that's really when I learned how to get buy-in and how to actually go do that. That helped me around. And I share that to show like the confidence. You can also rub people the wrong way, but there is that path in the middle where you can be confident. And when you're confident, people believe your ideas more. Like if you're in there like, I think we should do this idea, then no one's going to believe you, even if you have the right idea. Like right. So much is presence, right? Presence matters.
Right.
But you can combine both those things, that confidence and the skills to get buy-in in combination with that empathy and that authentic self you bring in. I think often when people hear, okay, like be confident, be assertive, I sometimes hear like, that's just not me. It feels icky. It feels political. And actually the best influencers, it's very organic. It's very authentic. There is a strategic step-by-step formula to go get that buy-in, to be seen as someone that people follow and are excited to hear from. But it doesn't mean that you have to be brash, or it doesn't mean that you have to be overly assertive. There's like a fine balance. And actually, people who have that balance are the ones who are going to move up the fastest, regardless of how technology evolves, because those are the people who get people excited about what to do and can actually get things done.
You know, it really is the same skill set. Maybe skill set's not the right word. It's the same dynamic that you described about the difference between Harvard education and a conversation with a community. So if you apply those two things to what you're talking about at work, it's not that you have to go off somewhere and bring back all the right answers. You have to bring people together and have the right conversations. And so if you bring your leadership to building community and conversations, then people do feel heard. You do get to share your research and your information and your ideas, but you're doing it in the context of we're all in this together, but I'm leading a conversation versus telling you what to do. And I think maybe I'm just terribly naive, but I just have this belief that if women would bring that same confidence that they bring to a community conversation into a company meeting, let's talk about it. Let's just all get in a room and talk about it. We're good at that. We get in each other's houses or coffee shops and we talk about things and we have ideas. Can't we bring that same construct into the workplace and confidently just bring people together and lead conversations that give us more of an elevated presence? Is that just too simple?
No, I think the people who can bring people together, like you're talking about, is really important. It's bringing in people and be like, hey, let's talk about it. But then also adding that guardrails to like guide the meeting along, to guide the conversation along, to make sure, are we making progress? Be able to navigate through disagreement, be able to reach conclusion like, okay, now we've been circling on this idea for the past couple of weeks, for the past hour, let's make a decision. It's powerful to be able to initiate that conversation, but then also be able to get that conversation to a clear conclusion.
And I guess I make a lot of assumptions because my friends, when we gather, we only want to talk about real things that we can move forward, even over coffee or wine. We're not talking about the latest on a TV show. We're literally saying, okay, so how can we make this different in the world? Or how can we do this? And so I do make a lot of assumptions that everybody has the benefit of such a beautiful network of strong women. But just like you're experiencing by getting people together, the power in that for people to go, it's not just me. Okay, good. Now I'm more confident because I was sitting back because I thought it was just me dealing with this. But now that I know it's all of us, okay, how can we work together to solve that? I think that's powerful.
Definitely. 100%.
How are you doing that with your company and the way that you're leading women? Are you doing it in a community sense? Like if somebody says, oh my gosh, I love this conversation, I want to work with her. Like, how do you engage women in these conversations and the skill building?
Yeah, definitely. So we have in Career Mama, it's a virtual community where we handpick every single member. So it's a really curated group of people who are high performers, who want to be able to excel in their career, but also want to be able to really raise thriving kids and do that all without burning out. And so for us in there, it's a mix of the community support. So, you know, being able to throw out questions around whatever is on your mind. And it's a judgment-free, safe place where it's just like, you can throw out anything. You can just even just be like, I am so tired right now. Or like, my kid can't stop bothering me. You know, things that like probably would be taboo to put it out there. And we know you'll love your kids, but just having that space, or it can be, you know, like I have this really difficult work situation. Someone posted a couple weeks ago, their leadership keeps throwing them fire drills at work. And they're like, how do I give them feedback to stop doing that? And she was just feeling so burnt out. And someone else just like posted, like, my daughter just came home from daycare sick for the third time this month. I am so tired. My husband is traveling for work. Just having that space around it. And so it's that white community support. And then we also have Career Mama OS, which is a framework that really takes all our members through around like, what do you need to nail for in career, family, and self? What is each stage look like? What are the skills you need to have? What are the questions you should be thinking about? So it's having a mix of that practical tools plus that support, that real-time support has been really valuable for people.
Oh, I love that. So it's practical, tactical, as well as community building and conversation. Yeah.
Especially for like home life, kids life, there is no right answer often.
Amen.
But it's just understanding how other people do it. And then you can pick and choose what's right for you. And then the second part of it is understanding like, oh, you're going through the same situation again. Mm-hmm. You know, just this morning I went to get my daughter and when I picked her up out of her bed was wet. And I was like, oh, her diaper leak. We need to clean it up. And I have like a full day of meeting. Like I got like starting to get delayed. But also it's helpful to know, like, okay, I've seen other people like talk about this and I like know it's just part of the game and you're just like, okay, let's go. Like, I just know now that like, my mornings can be a bit unpredictable. So you just got to build in buffer time. And so just knowing that and like planning for it, but I wouldn't have known that before without talking to other moms who have gone through the situation. Same way I wouldn't have known what kind of work John was expect without talking to other people who've gone through the same situation.
When I had my first baby, I called a person that reported to me in the office that I was running. And I said, Carla, I want to go to Target. What do I do with the car seat when I get inside Target? How do I connect it to the cart? And I didn't know. And I didn't want to feel stupid. And I was there with my new baby. And I literally called her and I said, what do I do when I get there? And she was so sweet. And she walked me through it and she was like, okay, you clip this here and this happens there and then this does. And I was like, okay, it's easy, right? And she was like, yeah, you got this. I mean, things like that. Here I was running the office. I was her boss. And I was like, you have to help me connect the car seat at Target. She was like, I got you, girl. That matters.
Yeah.
That matters.
Yeah, all these things that like, exactly. You get sent home from the hospital and you don't know what you're doing. I remember when we were walking out of the delivery room, they put me in a wheelchair. They were going to take us to like the room where we're going to spend the night. And then my partner grabbed our stuff and then we were like about to leave. And then he was just like, oh, so who's going to bring the baby? And the nurse was like, you are. And we're like, what? What do you mean? I don't know what I'm doing. Obviously you've learned, but it's just like,
wild.
Yeah. You just get thrown into it and you just got to figure it out. And then like every stage as your kids grow, it's brand new. And you're like, what am I doing? And then even as a mom of multiple kids, you know, that changes the equation. You got to figure out what you're doing. And so it's this constant evolving change and having this support system that you can fall back on and with a group of people who understand what you're going through, but also understand where you're coming from. So, you know, really, for example, like, remember, many of them, they're like, I have a bunch of friends, I have a bunch of mom friends, but most of them are staying home, or maybe they're just like, don't care as much about their career, which is totally fine. They're like, I just can't really relate to them. And they don't really understand why I want to work in the way that I want to work. I just need a space where I can talk to about this kind of stuff without feeling judged or without feeling guilty. And then also just like, people can actually help me think through this instead of just being like, okay.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I believe that if we don't deal with the numbers game that you brought up, that only 72 women go for leadership for every 100 men, we have to become more leaders so that we can make it a normalcy that our kids get sick. It's okay if you get interrupted on a conference call because your toddler is pounding on the door and you weren't able to manage it, or like the normal things that happen in day-to-day life raising children. Unless we have more women in leadership, we can't make that a normal part of the way things happen. And so if you need inspiration on why we need you in leadership, if you're a woman that's listening and thinking, I don't know if I want to do that. Look, we need your voice in the future of work if we're going to make the work what we want it to be. I was sitting beside a gal the other day and in a group setting, and she was talking about some job opportunities that she was considering. And she said, I just want to be able to drop my kids off and pick them up from school. My heart just dropped. And I thought, I mean, and I'm going to get emotional thinking about it. I thought, it is 2023. And that basic need is not being met for a mom just to want to drop off her kid and pick them up from school. Like, we need that to be a common thing for people. Like, that can't be that hard to accomplish for a company to figure out that that's okay for a woman to want to do that.
Definitely. And then like figuring out, okay, well, how do you evolve work around that? I often will get back on the line after I put my daughter to sleep. And that works for me. And it's like, I would rather just shut up early and then go and have that time with her and then get back online. Now I am the CEO. I have a lot more control over my calendar, but that's the same setup that we set for our team also. School pickups, like, yeah, go do it. And then I just trust my team to go plan around that. As long as you align with your team on clear expectations, here's what needs to get done. Here's the timeline. Here's what this looks like. We have the trust to let them go. And actually, I've found in my experience, people perform better when that happens. They're more motivated and they stick around for longer.
100%. 100%. Those studies have been going around for a long time, too long for this still to be one of the challenges that we're faced with, is the guilt about where am I supposed to be giving my best. Yeah. I could sit and talk to you for days and hours. This has been delightful and helpful, which I can tell is the way that you lead your communities. And I love that about what you're doing. How can people engage with you? Because I know you have offerings that our audience will want to participate in. How can they get in touch with you or learn more about these?
Definitely. You can go to careermama.com to find out more about our community and follow me on LinkedIn, Shivani Berry. I share a lot of advice and content on there too.
Excellent. Well, thank you for helping me just understand what's out there, what we need to do to address the future and build the kind of life and work that we all want to live in.
Of course. Thank you. I'm excited for the future and thank you for having me. I'm not coming down. I never left
it on the ground. I'm not coming down. Thanks for listening to this episode. I would love it if you would go to Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and a review. And then you can go to RebeccaFleetwoodHessian.com and join the Badass Women's Council. And if you really want to take a deeper dive, join the movement of 1,000 thriving women. There's amazing Thrive tools there for you today. Love you, mean it. I'm not coming down. Hey y'all, fun fact, if you like the music for the podcast, that is actually my son, Cameron Hessian. And I would love it if you would go to Spotify and iTunes and follow him and download some of his other music. My personal favorite is TV Land.